Hey, Justin.
Hey, Darren.
So welcome, everyone, once again to another Week 3 podcast where Justin and I basically just take turns picking things to talk about. It's about as wide a net as you possibly could imagine.
Mm-hmm. You know the old saying, you can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose, nor can you pick their Week 3 topic.
Is that how that goes?
Sure, why not?
Real quick, before we get started, DKPodcast.com, click on the Extra Life link at the top of the page. It'll take you to our 2023 Extra Life effort. We're raising money for Children's Miracle Network hospitals in Iowa and in Missouri, and we would love for your support because not only would your donation go straight to one of our chosen hospitals, but also you can win a fabulous prize. All the details are on our Extra Life page. So, anyone who's been following the podcast long enough knows that I am a huge Superman fan.
You know, yep.
Superman is my guy. And in fact, my first Week 3 was the Ruby Spears Superman series, which,
it's a
you
good
know,
show.
It is a good show. Real quick, what's your favorite treatment of Superman as far as television? You know, television series. We'll keep it to TV.
Oh, to TV. Okay. Probably the animated series from the mid-90s, mid to late 90s.
The Timverse.
The Timverse, you know. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Superman, the animated series, Tim Daly, and Dana Delaney, fantastic team.
Yep.
Well, what if I were to tell you that there is currently a Superman animated series on, of all networks, Adult Swim, that... that features a Sailor Moon-esque transformation sequence and is probably one of the best Superman adaptations I've seen in a while.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, we'll get to it in a second. We're talking about My Adventures with Superman.
Okay, so just for audience clarification, I knew about this show and I knew it was airing on Adult Swim. Sailor Moon-esque transformation?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll get to it because it's part of the pilot episode.
Okay.
So as of this taping, 3 episodes have aired, and it airs Thursday nights on Adult Swim. Also, it's available the next day on Max, the streaming service. And it is an anime version of Superman in pretty much every aspect of it, from the art style to the kind of rapid fire sense of humor and jokes, that kind of thing. But boy, if this show doesn't have a whole lot of heart, I'm not in love with it yet, but I am strongly crushing on it. If that makes sense.
Fair.
So let's get started with the cast is pretty great. You've got Jack Quaid as Clark Kent / Superman. You might know him best from the series The Boys on Prime Video. Yeah, other than that, he hasn't done a whole lot. He had some voice acting roles on Star Trek Lower Decks, and he played Richie Kirsch in Scream, the 2022 edition, but otherwise, not a whole lot of credits. Alice Lee, who I was not familiar with before the series, she voices Lois Lane. Ishmael Saheed voices Jimmy Olsen. Daryl Brown voices Perry White. Carrie Walgren, who I am familiar with, she voices young Clark, which is kind of fun. She has done a whole lot of voice work, so it's good to see her name on the list. And of all people... okay, back when Smallville was on the air, Lucas Grabeel, who had kind of made his name in High School Musical, as Ryan, like one of the rich, snotty kids, he showed up in Smallville and he played Kon-El. He played Superboy in Smallville. He is in the show as the voice of, quote, blimp operator. Mm. So that's... Welcome back, Lucas.
So it has connections to a previous Superman show.
There you go.
Okay, yeah. You know, it's like when Christopher Reeve guest starred on an episode of Smallville. They all tie into each other.
It's all connected. But the pilot episode is, it starts off with young Clark gets like a kite stuck in a tree, and he tries to jump and he can't reach it, and then eventually he's flying. And it is a great first flight scene in that he reacts like any 10-year-old would. He's just freaking stoked. You know, he's flying around. He's having a time of his life. And then he stops and he looks down, sees how far up he is. And he thinks to himself, how am I doing this? And then we see adult Clark, first day as an intern at the Daily Planet. And here's the first big change from the series, is that Clark, Lois, and Jimmy are all interns.
Uh-huh.
So they're all like early 20s, that kind of thing. And, you know, we see Clark wake up and immediately inadvertently smash his alarm clock, just destroys it. You know, also inadvertently wrecks part of the bathroom. He's nervous. He's getting ready for his first day on the job.
Yeah.
And he goes for a morning jog and he's all, I'm going to be a normal man and I'm just going to do normal guy things. Nothing out of the ordinary. This is going to be fine. And he sees maybe like a mile away, there is a cat in a tree. And near it is a poster for a missing cat that is identical to the cat in the tree.
Of course, yes.
And so without even thinking, he super speeds, grabs the cat, takes it to like this little girl hanging the flyers, and then goes back to his jog saying, well, I had to save the cat.
Justifying it to himself.
Yeah, yeah. And right up front, we are introduced to what I think is a good adaptation and depiction of Clark, in that, you know, just wants to blend in, but he cannot help himself. He has to do the right thing if he has the opportunity to do the right thing.
I'm just picturing him. Hello, fellow normal humans.
Well, there is actually a moment in the third episode where he sees some crooks there. He and Lois and Jimmy are watching some security footage, and they see like these people steal some tech, and he's like, I have to stop them, and then immediately changes, I mean, I have to report on them and interview them. You know, it is straight out of the like the Dragon Prince, hey there, human fellas, fella humans, that kind of thing. So, but yeah, the first couple episodes are called Adventures of a Normal Man. And we keep
Hi,
getting
Clark Normalman here.
Yeah. And we keep getting flashbacks to Clark's past, where it turns out that the spaceship that brought Clark in this version is much bigger than just a pod. Basically, it's under like the Kent's back 40.
Ooh.
You know, and they start digging it out because Clark is at this point asking questions like, how can I fly? Why is this a thing? And Jonathan Kent says something along the lines of, you know, this is perfectly normal, Martha. Every young boy goes through this phase where he wants to see the spaceship he arrived in. So I love the sense of humor about it. The first time Clark sees Jor-El. Jor-El looks like friggin' Big Boss from the Metal Gear franchise, or Snake Plissken from Escape from New York. You know, so he's got the white Kryptonian suit, but he's got like an eye patch and a beard and flowing hair, and he's speaking in a language Clark doesn't understand. And as the ship opens to accept Clark into it, Martha almost falls in. And so he catches Martha and immediately reburies the spaceship. And he's like, I don't want to know. Flash forward back to present day. Clark, who is jogging, ends up inadvertently bumping into Lois Lane, who is on her way to this local kind of a delicatessen, kind of like neighborhood deli thing, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And they strike up small talk, and it's cute. It's a meet cute is what it is. Until the old lady who runs the place recognizes Clark and is like, oh, you're here for all of your donuts. And he's like, no, I don't eat more than like one or two donuts like a normal person. And she proceeds to give him like three boxes of donuts and ties a bib around his neck because sometimes he's a messy eater. And, you know, Clark just looks at Lois and goes, well, this has been great. Goodbye forever. And he leaves because he hopes that he's like, this has ruined my shot. Of course, they end up meeting back at the Daily Planet. Lois has the personality of, do you remember Chloe from Smallville?
Yes.
With like the wall of weird and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Crank that up to 11 and you've got this version of Lois Lane. She is super energetic. She is always pitching stories to Perry, who just does not want to hear it. He's like, you're an intern. Your job is to get me coffee, file things, and that is it. And then you've got Jimmy, Clark's roommate, who is a conspiracy theorist who doesn't know how right he is about things. His username is Flamebird, which is a nice deep pull for DC Comics fans, because that's one of the legendary heroes that Superman told Jimmy about back in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a total of 5 social media followers. But they're the ones who know the truth, you know, about alien Sasquatches and starfish that can suck your brains. And, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He made several deep DC references that are just slightly off. But anyone who's eagle-eared enough can pick up on him like, okay, all right, he's so close.
Does Gotham City have a giant nocturnal bat?
There have been no mention of Gotham yet, but it's a matter of time.
It's give them time.
You know. the three, they meet with Perry. Perry kicks Clark and Jimmy out. He tells Lois, look, your job is just to train the interns. Don't go chasing any stupid story ideas. Whatever, just stay in the office.
So
Lois, go ahead.
Is Lois an intern?
Yes, all three are interns.
But she's just training the interns.
She's the senior intern because she's been there longer.
Okay, gotcha.
Which to her translates to, I'm their boss.
Yeah.
And so she turns that into, well, actually, you guys are with me, and we're working this story about this series of technology thefts, which are being headed up, ironically enough, by one Leslie Willis, who longtime DC fans will know as Livewire.
Mm-hmm.
Although in this version, she's not a shock jock. She's just a mercenary going around stealing stuff. They find out that it's being smuggled through Metropolis in garbage trucks because no one's going to check the garbage trucks.
That's true, yeah.
They track down the source. Turns out that Leslie and her gang are smuggling giant robots. Giant robots with vague Kryptonian shield outlines on their chests. And Leslie is also using some tech from one of the trailers of smuggled goods that allows her to shoot electric blasts, that kind of thing. Long story short, they get into a bit of trouble. Clark gets the shit kicked out of him quite a bit by these robots. And we finally start to see like this Superman's power level, which is they really kind of scaled him down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing it's because either A, he's still new at this, or B, it's a mental block, because when he sees Lois in danger, he erupts into a burst of speed. Sparks come out of his eyes. A blue lightning S appears on his chest, and it's almost like he goes Super Saiyan for a moment before he, you know, stops the robots, flies away before Lois can positively ID him, that kind of thing. So the end of the first episode is him hovering above Metropolis, asking himself, what am I? Part 2 of the pilot, he returns to the Kent farm, he goes into the spaceship, and we get the magical girl transformation.
Oh my god.
As in, Jor-El tries to talk to him. Clark still can't understand him because he doesn't speak Kryptonian. So he instead gets a picture painted for him, like a video presentation of something happened to Krypton, something poisoned Krypton's sun, Krypton exploded, yada, yada, yada. And then straight up out of Sailor Moon, wind blows in Clark's hair, Kryptonian S lights up on his chest and then spreads out to his arms, which are spread out at his side, his legs, which are dangling below him. Camera pans around behind him. The cape billows out. He is the one called Superman. I mean, it's just... if I I love it too much to hate it. Because it works for this version. Long and short, you know, Superman saves the day after Lois and Jimmy track down Leslie Willis and her gang once again, and they're almost murdered by robots. But when Superman disables Leslie's gear, he gets a bit of a flashback, it looks like, some kind of mental image of, looks like, war on Krypton. And he destroys the gear. And, you know, Lois and Jimmy and Clark all go to Perry with, all right, here's a photo of Superman. We've got this story. You know, you've got to take us seriously now. And Perry's like, all right, get out of here. And the episode ends with them looking at the next issue of the Daily Planet. And instead of by Clark Kent, Lois Lane, and Jimmy Olsen, it's by Cat Grant, Steve Lombard, and Ron Troop. Their story has been reassigned to the real reporters.
Yeah.
And that's how the pilot episode ends.
Oh.
Yeah. But, man, a lot of fun, a lot of frantic energy, and it really does seem to get the heart of Superman right. Now, it does. There's a couple of nitpicks I have with it. Primarily, Clark seems, like, on one hand, he is, like, the whole Boy Scout persona that you're used to Clark Kent being. But on the other hand, Clark seems just a bit too gullible when it comes to Lois. Multiple times, Lois will say, hey, you know, let's go investigate this lead. Are you sure that Jimmy said it was that Perry said it was okay? Well, Perry said the word okay. And then, you know, that kind of thing. Or in episode 3, she steals Steve's, Kat's, and Ron, or in this case, it's Veronica Troop, Ronnie Troop, in this version, steals their ID badges so they can pass off as those three when they go investigate a breakout at Stryker's prison. Never mind the fact that there are photos on the ID badges of the actual planet staffers.
Yeah.
And Clark all too quickly kind of goes along with it because it's great. He ends up being Steve Lombard. So when they're introducing themselves, it's he doesn't want to say anything. Lois nudges him. Steve. Sports. And that's it. But yeah, overall, it's a very fast-moving show. It definitely leans hard into kind of like the anime tendencies. The artwork is great. You know, I love Jimmy being kind of like a conspiracy theorist, almost borderline nut job, but he's so close to being right. And you can see the seeds sown for like what eventually Lois and Clark will become when they become actual adults. I also do like the twist in that Lois and Clark are kind of into each other right from the get-go. But Lois doesn't trust Superman at all. She thinks that like he's clearly lying. He's clearly, you know, not all he says he is. He's hiding something. It's a very cynical take. But instead of the Lois, Clark, and Superman love triangle being Clark the odd one out, in this case, it's Superman that's the odd one out. And now Clark has to find a way to get Lois to like Superman. So, I mean, in one part of the third episode, she says that, like, we need to get an interview with Superman. Oh, why? So he can tell his side of the story? No, so I can expose all his secrets for who he really is. You know, with like this devilish look in her eye. And, you know, Clark basically pulls a, oh, look at my wrist, I gotta go kind of thing. So, but yeah, I'm not sure if you'd seen much of the marketing materials or if you were interested in the show, but so far, so good.
I have been interested. I've seen like the like promotional pictures and stuff. I know what the suit looks like and I'm fine with it. I heard it was kind of anime-esque and that's fine too.
Oh boy, is it.
I don't have cable or satellite, so I don't get Cartoon Network, and I don't have HBO Max. So at some point I will find it and get to watch it.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll probably buy the first season whenever they put it on DVD because it has Superman.
I probably will too, just based on what you've said alone.
Yeah. So, well, hey, if you have seen Superman and Lois, then you can add this to another good interpretation of the show.
Okay.
of the character. Because I was just thinking about it, like, Superman fans, although we haven't been doing well theatrically, we're eating good right now.
Very rarely does a Superman animated show do badly.
That's true.
Because even the Fleischer cartoons are still entertaining.
Oh, well, the Fleischer cartoons are timeless, and we could do a whole thing about the Fleischer cartoons, both the positives and the negatives for some of those.
Yes, they're products of their time.
I would say that, the Ruby Spears one is probably, like, the least acclaimed of those.
Well, it was only one season, right? Is that what we...
It was only one season.
It was probably just one of those blip and you miss it kind of things.
Although dropping like a tank in Lex Luthor's swimming pool and Lex saying, well, you're going to have to send me, I'm going to have to send you a bill for that is just, wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty much all I wanted to say about my adventures with Superman without spoiling too much, other than that Silver Banshee is the villain in episode 3, which I think is hilarious because if you've been following the current comics, she and Jimmy Olsen are dating now. You know the whole, like, I can fix her mentality?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's been fun to watch, though.
Train wrecks usually are.
Yeah. But if you are in the market for an animated series and you are a DC or a Superman fan, by all means, give My Adventures with Superman a try. I am looking forward to the eventual Batman appearance because, as Martha once said in Superman the Animated Series, that nut in Gotham City is bound to show up eventually. So, that's pretty much all I had. I know it's a little bit shorter, but I can't sing the show's praises enough. So, well, I guess it's your turn next time, right?
I believe it is. And thank you, by the way, for sharing. I enjoyed myself. It is my turn, and I will come up with something.
Right on. Well, until then, be sure to hit us up at geekcavepodcast.com. We've got new episodes every week, and everyone's a geek for something. Bye.
Bye.